Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we're back in the first hour, and we were talking about turning, you know, our hearts, everything back to God, you know, and mm-hmm. God using us in the Great Commission to preach the gospel and to share the love of God with the world. And we're talking about how the Holy Spirit was there to empower us and to encourage us. And this is our time. This is the church's greatest hour. And this is our time to share the love of God with everyone. Mm-hmm. And not to hold back, but we got to share truth.
Right.
We got to share truth. And truth is a very, very important thing. I mean, Jesus says in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. Mm. No one comes to the Father except through me. I love how Jesus is so clear.
You know, yeah.
You know, it's like, how can you misunderstand that? You know, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so important because he says that, and also in John, that the counselor, the spirit of truth, will be with us. And so truth is so important. Remember when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate and says, well, what is truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
While he's looking at truth straight in the face, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, right. Did he recognize it?
Interesting. Amazing how the little g, 1 Corinthians says, the little g god of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so that they cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And although truth may be present, you can't judge truth by somebody who can't see.
Right.
They're blind.
Mm-hmm.
They're blind. Well, it's interesting that I was reading this book not too long ago. It's called Gravity, Truth for You but Not Truth for Me. This mm-hmm. author really challenges the reader in regards to truth. This is so important. Listen to this, because, you know, do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to know the truth?
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you were dying of a deadly but curable disease, would you want the right medication to survive?
Mm-hmm.
Let's ponder that. If you were dying of a deadly disease, but yet it was curable,
mm-hmm.
of a curable disease, would you want the right medication to survive? If you want the truth, you'd be like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get me the right medication.
All right.
Would you want to know the truth about the risks before investing your life savings? That was a way for you to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And someone sitting across the table with you, a financial advisor,
mm-hmm.
you're about to invest all of your life savings, your 401ks and J's and mutual bonds, you're about to invest all your pennies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Think about your whole life savings.
Mm-hmm.
We hear the travesty of people just losing everything.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a way to know the truth, whether this is going to be a good investment or this was a bad investment, this was a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
I would dare say, and most people would say,
yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another question. Do you want your family and friends to tell you the truth once in a while or all the time?
Right.
Don't say it depends what they say.
Yeah, right.
But do you want your friends and family to tell you the truth? You want your children to tell you the truth,
mm-hmm.
Chris? Or do you want them just to tell the truth once in a while?
All the time.
Think about it. You want people to tell you the truth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Well, if you want truth in any of these areas, it appears that truth is really important to you. I know it's important to me. So what's on the other side of death? I mean, if God exists and your destination after physical death is based on the choices you make in this life, would the truth about eternity be important? Would the truth about eternity be important? I'm amazed oftentimes when you get out in the harvest field and you're talking to people,
mm-hmm.
how people come to conclusions about eternity, life and death, heaven or hell,
mm-hmm.
on all different things that have nothing to do with truth.
Right.
You know, there's a thing called objective truth, and it relates to the object referred to. It's true, something's true even if no one believes it. Because it's truth. I mean, like, Jesus in the Bible claimed to be objective truth. I mean, it's the truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's not going to change. You know? It doesn't become truth because you choose to believe it. The sky is blue whether you want to believe that or not.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so there's a law of contradiction that says, hey, something can be true and a lie at the same time. Mm. You know, the sky can't be blue and purple. We know the sky's blue, but you know what I'm saying? Work with me. I'm not, you know.
Right, right. But
the grass can't be green and pink.
Right.
It's green grass. It's blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important because the knowledge of this is crucial to understanding that truth does exist and its opposite is always false. This is so good, and I want to continue talking about this because if we're going to share the gospel with people and we want to share the truth, we got to start asking people, do you really want to know the truth? Are you a person that wants the truth? And you'll be surprised that people want the truth. Now, we're talking about truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about how Jesus is truth and he's the spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sharing the gospel and ministering to someone. We want to ask them, hey, listen, are you interested in truth? Are you interested in knowing the truth?
Right.
Because if you're not interested in knowing the truth, you know, it's like, hello, I can't help you much. Mm-hmm. But most people, if you ask them, they're interested and they want to know the truth. But the question is, like, how do you come up with the truth? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is your decision making when it comes to finding the truth? I'm amazed. You can't guess. I mean, listen, when we used to take those tests, multiple choice, and we stumbled, you know, we filled in and guessed a couple of answers, you could stumble on the truth, but you can't guess your way to the truth on important matters like, hello, eternity.
Right.
That's not something you want to, you know what I'm saying?
And, you want to guess at that one.
Yeah. And like, dude, there's like a 50-50 chance that you can be wrong. I mean, are you willing to go down to the mat on this theory here that grandma told you? I mean, it's this theory that you read in, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically there's three ways that people come up with feelings. Could be more. I mean, come up with coming to the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one is feelings. It feels right. It gives me purpose, you know, whole peace of mind. I just believe. They're just their own personal feelings.
Right.
Like, okay, that's like so subjective.
Yeah.
And so, people, you know, how do you feel today?
Mm-hmm.
You know? The second one is their family or someone they trust. They believe it, so I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the gospel. I mean, I don't know what your experience was like, but you know what? That's so true. A lot of people just say, well, this is what my family believes.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know if that's true? No, I don't believe that. You know, and just because you believe something, you can wish it all you like and have all the belief in the world that that's the right thing. You can be so sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong.
Exactly.
You know? And I just, you know, I remember when even myself, and I don't know about you, but when I had these ideas about God prior to really coming to God, that was just warped, you know? You don't know the truth, and you're deceived. That's a scary thing. And then it's like, you're going to, you know, pound the table even harder. This is the way. And it's like, oh, I don't even know the way. But I had a different idea, and I was coming to the truth based upon maybe what my experiences were or my personal feelings, but that is so limited, so subjective. It's like, you know, you're 18. Oh, okay. you Googled it. Oh.
Right.
The newspaper. Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on Facebook. Oh, okay, okay. Now, how is it that you came to this conclusion?
Right.
About eternity?
Right, right.
About God?
Mm-hmm.
And you're willing to go down to the man. And what if your uncle, what if your mother was wrong? What if your dad was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So important because you got to know the truth for yourself.
Right.
You got to know the truth for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I had a whole different concept prior to knowing God.
Right.
Well, I'm okay. I'm all right. And one lie the enemy tries to plant to many people's lives is that, you know what? I know about God. I know of him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with those statements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. You can know of God, about God. You can even agree that the Bible is a great book.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. unless you accepted him into your heart,
right,
you don't know him.
That's right.
But I'm a good person.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I pay my taxes.
Right. I haven't killed anybody. I don't steal.
I try hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I just firmly believe, if you ask, and I've done this before. I mean, I've spent a lot of time in the harvest field, and you ask people, you know, why, if God was to allow you to heaven, and he was to ask you, why should I allow you to heaven, what would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Based upon my experiences, and I'm telling you, I've maybe hundreds,
mm-hmm.
you know, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, and I would say 90 to 95% of those that I've spoken to and asked that question, I even had surveys.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, "Well, I'm a good person."
Yeah,
I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're shocked to find out that being good is not a prerequisite of going into heaven.
Mm-mm.
That has nothing to do with it, because Jesus himself tells us that there's no one good except the Father.
That's right.
It's not our righteousness or our good works that earns our way into the kingdom and into having a relationship with God. You can't earn anything in God by trying to do good works. And we do good works because God's in us,
mm-hmm.
but not for his favor, his love, his acceptance. We don't earn anything with God.
Right.
That's truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's truth. And the last way people come to a decision on things, on what they're going to believe, is they look at the evidence.
Mm.
What's the evidence?
Mm-hmm.
You can base it on your feelings.
Right.
You can be like, really? You're willing to stand on that because Uncle Joe, what, told you what? really?
Mm.
And you know how it turned out for Uncle Joe. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you serious?
Right.
Or now, you didn't. Okay. I mean, help me out here. This is serious. We're talking about like deception. We're talking about not knowing the truth. We're talking about making decisions that have eternal consequences.
Mm, right.
If you're a parent, you owe it to your children that God's given you, that's blessed you. You owe it to seek the truth, to seek God. You need God. You need to find the truth. But you can't make your decision for God based upon your feelings or based upon what others say or because they think that. You need to spend time yourself looking at the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even creation speaks about God.
Right.
Even creation speaks.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what the evidence is? The evidence is the Word of God. Listen, when you have 19% of the church actually abiding and spending time with God and not even the truth, when we talked about this before in one of our segments, is how the enduring Word of God,
mm-hmm.
66 books written by so many different people, you know, all saying the same thing from Genesis to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Jesus all the way from Genesis all the way through Revelation in every book of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In a time where they didn't have internet, books, TV, radio.
Right.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Every year is still the bestseller. The Bible itself is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at it. And it's filled with truth. But if you never open it, if you never look at it, if you don't read it, if you don't spend time with God and knowing him, how can the truth be revealed to you?
Right.
And sad to say that with pride and with age, people sometimes would rather defend what they think they know,
mm-hmm.
instead of wanting to grow.
Right.
And I want to caution you, if you just turned in, if you're trying to share with someone, it's worth having these conversations. Listen, people's souls hang in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
People's souls hang in the balance. Let me tell you something. This world is getting increasingly evil. Satan hates your guts say it's our guts. But let me tell you something. God loves you and has an amazing plan for you. He has an amazing plan, if you don't know him, for you to come to know him. And he has an amazing plan for you if you're his child and you do know him. He wants you to come into the family of God. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to restore you and heal you. And he wants you to continue to share his word. I love how when Jesus reached the demoniac and he was all tied up in the Bible and just with chains and broken and all mess, and people were afraid even to be around him, that he was delivered and set free and came to Jesus, he was a new man. The Bible says he was sitting in his right mind. He says, "Gee, I'll go with you anywhere."
Right.
And that's what it's all about. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God truly, truly, truly loves you.
Yes.
You know, man may not, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his heart burns for you. And he is the truth. He is the way, and he is the life. We want to play a segment for you that we previously aired on VFN Radio. It's called God Loves You. And it was a time that just was so encouraging. When we get back, we're going to talk about this more. But you got to know the love of God. There's nothing more truthful, nothing more powerful, nothing more real than God's love. People often talk about a mother's love. Let me tell you something. Your mother's love does not even compare to a God's love.
Right.
It's not even on the charts. Or a father's love. Let me tell you something. God loves you with an amazing love. Listen to this. You may be hearing some people saying that, you know, if God hates someone, wait a minute. God doesn't hate anybody. Right. That is just some wrong, warped thinking. God loves everyone. So you're going to hear him, and who does God love? You're going to hear about he loves mankind. There is no one that God does not love.
Right.
And we're going to go, you know, more in depth into this, but you're going to be encouraged, and it's going to help you to relate to others and get a fresh perspective and not fall into the temptation to judge or put labels on people, but to recognize that, hey, if they're made, you know, every human being is made in the image of God, and they may not be loving God,
right,
but that never changes God's love towards man.
I know.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, thank God, right?
I know, right?
Because there was a time in my life when I didn't always love God. Sad to say.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, oh, it'll be you. See, Chris, there he goes again. See, there he goes. But isn't that amazing? It's like, you know, oftentimes people you hear say, well, you know, I love God. Well, really? You know, we need to investigate on it. We need to talk about that more, you know, because we need to define what love is, you know?
Right.
You know, loving God is honoring God and making him the Lord of our life. You know, Isaiah says that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God's not into lip service. He's not into pretty words, right? But he's into action. You know, he's into our love being displayed. His love was displayed. It was displayed on the cross. You know, love demonstrates.
Absolutely.
And if we say we love God, then we'll begin to obey God. And so he loves us unconditionally, but we need to love him back.
All right.
You know, he loved us even in our most worst state. So when we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were unlovable, think about it. Chris, Pat, when you were unlovable, I mean, I know it's hard to, I know if you've been your listeners, it's hard to believe. But these guys at one time, maybe to others, never to me, of course, right?
All right.
But to others, they could have been seen as unlovable, but yet, but God, right?
But God, thank
but
goodness.
God, Chris is like, amen. I ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
I used to run away from it.
Isn't that amazing?
And
many are running away from the love of God.
Right. Yeah.
But you know how you know his love will overtake you. The Bible says that it's his kindness and his goodness that causes us to turn back to him. You know, and if I said it this once, I said it 1,000 times. I'm like, I'm not in a place. I'm just not in a place where I can turn down that type of love.
No.
You know, I need the love of God.
That's
I
right.
need the grace of God. I need the mercy and the forgiveness. I need it all every day. And he richly supplies that to us. Mm-hmm. And so it's if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that there's never been a better time than today.
Absolutely.
You know, today is the day of salvation. You know, you've tried and maybe you've thought about it and maybe you've, you know, someone turned you on to the radio program and you just kind of tuned in. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God has a plan for your life, that the way you walk and talk and breathe and look and act and the things that make you, you, God's designed you for a purpose. The Bible says that he knit you in your mother's womb.
That's right.
He loves you with an everlasting love, you know, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He desires for you to have a relationship with him.
That's right.
The Bible is his love letter to you. And that's how we begin to walk out a relationship and communing and talking with God, which is simply prayer. But he's not after what you can do for him. He's not after you so that you can just, you know, attend a service or something and be, right, you know, go to a location, a mm-hmm. building. You know, it's,
right,
that's not what he's after. Your heart. He's after your heart. I remember when I first heard that, you know, Pat, Chris, mm-hmm. I'm like, God, really?
You want this?
Exactly.
Are you sure, God?
You know, surely this is a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, my perception, and I don't know what, you know, my perception was that maybe God was up there with the big old ruler and just looking to get me in trouble for every single time that I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, if you listen today, that's not God. That was a stinking thinking that I had. I had a wrong perception. And what you believe about God is going to determine what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And because I believe that, mm-hmm. it caused me to maybe stay away from hearing the truth that I needed to hear. But when I heard
mm-hmm.
that this loving God,
that's right,
was willing to forgive me of all my sins, forgive me of everything that I've ever could have done,
mm-hmm.
and that I could start afresh and start anew, that he'll separate my sins as far as the east is from the west, and he can purify me.
That's right.
And he loves me
mm-hmm.
unconditionally. I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And he just melted my heart. And I want to encourage you today. You know, some of us have written our stories of how we found God and our, you know, you can go to meetmyfather.org and you can hear more about that. But if you want to take this step of faith, if you want to leap into the arms of God,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find that he's right there waiting for you. He's been waiting for you to turn to him because his eye has been upon you.
Right.
And once you make eye contact with him, once you turn your gaze towards him,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find that everything's going to work out. You're going to find that your life is going to have a new sense of meaning. You're going to find out what true love really is all about.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm sure this was your experience. You know, my experience was that I don't even know who that guy used to be.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to know him anymore.
Yeah, tell me about it. And I know you have been transformed, Patty.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Definitely.
Isn't that good?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things that set me free from that mindset that you're talking about, that God can't love me, is, you know, I heard at one point that, you know, God doesn't look at us as we look at us.
Mm-hmm.
God looks at us as he created us to be.
Mm.
Wow.
You know, he knit you in your mother's womb. You know, he mm-hmm. knew you before the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that statement there just, you know, is very freeing, that God doesn't look at me in the state that I am in now.
Right.
He sees me as he created me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's just a very freeing.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's very freeing. It's very freeing because if all you've been is in a place of desperation, you know, you're trying to do it without God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, life, you know, life doesn't go well without God. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't go well.
Right.
I mean, you look at the broken relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You look, I mean, if, you know, there was a survey done, and I can't give you any statistics here for it, but I read this survey once. It said that the person's main goal in life, one of people's main goal is to be happy.
Mm.
I just want to be happy. You know, and okay, you know, the thing with just being happy is how we try to pursue happiness, mm-hmm. you know, because happiness is just something that happens, mm-hmm. but true joy comes from the Lord.
That's right.
And so oftentimes, you know, people get on a treadmill that don't know God. I mean, I was on it. Mm-hmm. You know, you think maybe a relationship's going to make you happy. So you mm-hmm. get into a relationship mm-hmm. and you find out that, you know what, that person is not God mm-hmm. and right. you're not God for that person. Mm-hmm. But you look at relationships, and without a relationship with God, people fall into temptation of treating each other like gods, mm-hmm. and thinking that this one person, this one soulmate, is going to do this thing for them mm-hmm. that's going to make everything just happy.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so you know, we'll just have a baby. If we have a baby, we're just going to
fix everything.
So happy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just beginning.
It's just beginning. See, I don't know. Is it the crying? Is it the diaper changing? I don't know what part of all, you know.
Right,
granted, right. you know, we've got children. I love my children, oh, you yeah. know. But as the source, I'm talking about the source, mm-hmm. the source of your happiness, mm-hmm. that ain't going to cut it.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm going to get a job. You know, I'm going to study. I'm going to get an education because education is so important. Listen, I'm not knocking education. Got one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good it is, but I got one, you know. But I'll just get an education because that's I'm going to be happy in life. You got education. You got a good job with benefits and a 401k mm-hmm. and all this. And, you know, then I'm going to be happy. Because then, you know, I'm going to feel good about myself and all that. You know, well, what happens when you don't have your job?
That's right. What happens then?
Yeah. I mean, what if happiness is determined by a job, then that means that when the job or the thing or whatever it is, that the idol that we place before God mm-hmm. is taken down.
That's right.
Then that means
you're not happy anymore. Yeah. Right.
I mean, think about it. Yeah. So we trade jobs, we trade, you know, and the thing about it is it becomes just a narcissistic, it becomes a self-focused thing where things, people, and items all revolve around the person that make them happy. Because mm-hmm. that's my number one goal. My number goal is to be happy. Then I need all these things, I need all these people. You know, if I go shopping and I get the latest, it's amazing. You know, it's like you buy that one thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. You're just ecstatic. Can't wait to go home and open it up, right?
You go home, you open it up, you unbox it.
Yeah.
Have you seen this video on YouTube where people would like, they unbox
their stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, breathtaking. Let's see what it looks like. The new iPhone, whatever it is, the unboxing video of. Mm-hmm. But they're so excited. And that lasts for what?
A week?
You know, the new car is like, oh, I just got the new car.
Yep.
And the new smell wears off.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as a kid just spills, the new baby spills something in it.
And right.
We got to wipe that up.
It's over. Get a scratch on it.
Exactly. First scratch, first day.
Run over a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have done that here?
I don't know.
No comments.
Any names.
No suspects. Let's keep it moving. But you think about it, it's like, mm-hmm. wow. That's important here that we take note of that because none of these things can truly make it. They can add happiness in its proper context, in its proper place, you know. And God doesn't even promise us happiness, mm-hmm. you know. We're a byproduct of having a relationship with God, is that we're going to, you know, you're going to sense the joy of the Lord. God's got you have hope, mm-hmm. but you know, I understand. I have a great compassion for a lot of people right now that don't know God. You're searching, you're looking, and you know, and maybe you're coming back, or maybe you knew God once, and now you're you know, you got turned on to VFN radio, and listen, I have great compassion because I was there. Mm-hmm. I was on the treadmill. I tried to do everything that they said to do.
Oh, yeah.
To be happy. I didn't did
That's
it all.
Right. Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is that I still wasn't happy. You know, it's just it wasn't an amount of money. It wasn't in the relationships. It wasn't in the jobs and the positions and the toys and the stuff and the vacations. It's like, you know, you can't go from vacation to vacation to vacation. Right. It's like there's got to be more to life than this. Mm-hmm. And you know, thinking about that, I remember, you know, being in my parents' home one day years and years ago when I first came to God. And I started thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be more to life than this. It's like,
yeah.
Hello. I mean, I'm wondering, I was in college at the time. Will I ever graduate? Mm-hmm. Will I ever get a job? You know what I'm saying? Will I ever have kids or just what? You know, you have all these questions, all these what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started fast forwarding through my life. It's just like, I don't know. It's just started seeing these things. It was in a daydream maybe. And just started imagining, you know, is this it? You ask most people today, why do you work? Well, I got bills. You know, it's like, is this it? Work to pay bills and have 2 weeks vacation? Is this it? Maybe get married. But, you know, 50% of all marriages end in divorce today, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe have a couple of kids and all that newness will wear off. And is this it? Is this it? And you're looking at a generation now that's graduating that doesn't even know if they're even going to do as good as their parents' generation. I mean, typically you want your children to do better than the previous generation. Well, you have a generation that's graduating from college with such uncertainty, and we've lifted all these other things, whether it be money, relationships, you know, status, all this other stuff is more important than having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'd say the greatest thing that you could ever do in your life, the greatest thing you could ever, ever do in your life, the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. They say that the three most important decisions, Pat, that you, Kristen, you ever make in your life all start with a C. What you're going to do for your career, who's going to be your companion,
right?
Yeah. No, that's a,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And your decision or your indecision to choose Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Maybe you've been working it backwards. Maybe, you know, you started out with the career, you started out with the companion and all this type of stuff. Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ is not at the center of your heart and your life, you're missing.
That's right.
And you can turn back to him. Listen, there's nothing that you could have done. There's nothing that you have done in your life where God's going to reject you. We're talking about, who does God love? I mean, God loves you. He loves you, he's died for you, and he has a plan for your life. You can make that decision to turn your heart, give your heart to him. Or maybe if you've known him, maybe your relationship has just grown cold.
Yep.
Let me tell you, you can stoke a relationship now. You just turn back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been abiding, I want to encourage you, you can go to iabide.org. I like the... You see an iPad or iPod, the letter I, and the word abide, abide.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a simple plan. There's a simple plan that you can get. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Nothing but your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can download this plan. It gives you a simple plan on how you can abide, how you can spend time with God, how you can begin to walk out this relationship. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you today that God loves you. Yes, he loves you. He loves you with a burning, passionate love. And I think many, many people get that. They have an idea of that, you know, Pat?
Yeah.
And who you are today is God's gift to you.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do with your life is your gift to God.
Right.
I mean, you're blessed. God loves you.
That's right.
The mistake in thinking is that, well, just God's love is just, okay, I just have God's love and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, God says, it's what are we going to do with that love? I mean, the question is, do you love God back?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And Jesus says that if you love me, you'll obey me.
Right.
And so part of you know, receiving God's love is, yes, receiving that God loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants nothing but goodness and kindness and greatness.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves you. He wants you to come to him.
Right.
He you know, his love was displayed on the cross. He wants you to come to him, to make him the Lord of your life. And you can do that. I mean, you can give God your life. You can give him your heart. You can make that decision today. But what you do with your life is your gift to God. What would you give him? What would you give him? I mean, this is what he's calling us for. He's loving us. We can love him back and we can enjoy a relationship with him. But it's not just enough to say, well, you know, God loves me and I can do whatever I want. Well, no. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He loves you enough to let you go. He loves you enough to let you come back. He loves you. And so don't mistake God's mm-hmm. love for acceptance of any kind of sin, because oftentimes right. I hear that as well, that, you know, well, God just loves me, and so, you know, that mm-hmm. means just whatever. No, it's not whatever, whatever.
Right.
It's not whatever, whatever. God will respect your choice, that's your right. choice for him or your choice to choose not to choose him.
That's right.
But why would you miss out on that? Why would you miss out on an awesome opportunity to say, man, I want to receive God's love, and I want to begin to start loving him back on his terms. You know, this is what we can receive. I mean, if we don't know God, we can begin to love him by accepting him into our heart. But if you're listening today and you're a believer and you're being encouraged and you're saying, yes, I love God and God loves me and I have a relationship with the Lord and that's wonderful. I hear you. Well, you know what? God told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep.
That's right.
If you're a believer today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've accepted him and you have a relationship with God, wonderful. One of the ways that you can love God is by taking care of his sheep, by going out into the harvest and telling the world about a loving God that loves them, who died for their sins. Mm-hmm. Let's advance the kingdom. We don't advance the kingdom by buildings. We advance the kingdom by the kingdom growing in people's hearts, by people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have the greatest, this is the church's greatest hour.
Right.
Let's glorify God. Let's continue to be in the harvest fields. Let's receive God's love and share God's love so that many can come to God and know his love for himself.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.